Light and peace in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Comfort my people, comfort them. My salvation shall not be delayed. I have swept away your offenses like a cloud. Fear not, for I will save you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Redeemer. Thus says the Lord, come and save us, O Lord of hosts.
Come, O Lord, and save us.
Dear people of God, in the season of Advent, it is our responsibility and joy to prepare ourselves to hear once more the message of the angels, to go to Bethlehem and see the Son of God lying in a manger. Let us hear and heed in Holy Scripture the story of God's loving purpose from the time of our rebellion against him until the glorious redemption brought to us by his holy child Jesus. And let us look forward to the yearly remembrance of his birth with hymns and songs of praise.
The first lesson in which paradise is lost. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent tricked me, and I ate. The Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel.
The second lesson, in which God promises that a child will be conceived who will be known as God with us. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, and I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear then, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary mortals, that you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and shall bear a son, and shall name him Emmanuel. He shall eat curds and honey by the time he knows how to refuse the evil and choose the good."
Thank you. The third lesson, in which Jerusalem is assured of help. Look toward the east, O Jerusalem, and see the joy that is coming to you from God. Look, your children are coming, whom you sent away. They are coming, gathered from east and west, at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing in the glory of God. Take off the garment of your sorrow and affliction, O Jerusalem, and put on forever the beauty of the glory from God. Put on the robe of the righteousness that comes from God. Put on your head the diadem of the glory of the everlasting. For God will show your splendor everywhere under heaven. For God will give you evermore the name, righteous peace, godly glory. Arise, O Jerusalem, stand upon the height. Look toward the east and see your children gathered from west and east at the word of the Holy One, rejoicing that God has remembered them. For they went out from you on foot, led away by their enemies. But God will bring them back to you, carried in glory as on a royal throne. For God has ordered that every high mountain and the everlasting hills be made low, and the valleys filled up to make level ground, so that Israel may walk safely in the glory of God. The woods and every fragrant tree have shaded Israel at God's command. For God will lead Israel with joy in the light of his glory, with the mercy and righteousness that come from God.
Keep your dance, trim and burn, keep your dance, trim and burn. The fourth lesson, in which John the Baptist proclaims the one who is to come. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it and said, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you the Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize you with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thongs of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing.
Thank you. the fifth lesson in which the birth of Jesus is foretold. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who is said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. 19 years ago this Advent, Arch and I awaited our wedding day. He waited in Washington, I waited in Texas. Anticipating our marriage, I put my house on the market, and it sold in precisely 1 week. A friend took me in, inviting me to live in her guest room for 3 months. She did not, however, express an interest in taking in all my worldly possessions. And so, in another act of preparation, a friend who managed estate sales helped me dispose of almost everything I owned. A few treasured possessions, the books I felt I needed for my work, I shipped to Washington. These boxes sat in Arch's guest room. My bishop granted me the leave of absence from parish ministry I had requested, effective the day of our wedding. On that day, I would no longer have a job. My congregation embraced Arch with good grace. I had been single for a long time. They were worried. They were delighted that I had chosen to marry in their midst. A flurry of dinners and parties filled an already busy Advent calendar. I remember so vividly the deep joy of those days, the promise of love, the longing for a larger shared life, vibrant, electric, sweet. And then on a weekend visit to Washington, looking across the dinner table at Arch, I panicked. What if he changes his mind? What if this wedding never happens? I'll be homeless, jobless, virtually possessionless. Having gone way out on a limb, I felt quite unexpectedly vulnerable and exposed. I sat staring across the table at my beloved, frozen. I promise you, Arch said, I promise you, this wedding will happen. An Advent moment. For to inhabit Advent well means savoring preparation. It means wrestling and wrestling hard with the already but not yet of God. Advent asks us to relish the idea of rearranging our lives, to create space to welcome love incarnate. Advent warns us, keep awake, keep alert. God is doing a new thing, and it will most certainly disturb the topography of your world. Advent calls us, stand on tiptoe, loosen that grasp on the present, stretch toward the future God sees, the life God imagines. I got over my panic. Love prevailed. We married. And every Advent since, as the church waits again for the promised coming of God, a vivid memory of expectant waiting returns. And it grows strong, wedded as it is to the waiting of all God's people. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Living means waiting, and not all waiting is the same. Sometimes darkness gets very close, and death seems very strong. It's cancer, says the doctor. We won't be needing you anymore, says the boss. It's not you, it's me, says the spouse as they head out the door. Thrust into unknown realities and places, we feel our world collapsing and chaos seems close at hand. Some waiting is not at first an occasion for joy. Some waiting bears the mark of suffering, struggle, sadness, and it feels most unwelcome. In her book, Plan B, Anne Lamott tells the story of her son, Sam, who at the age of 7 decided he wished to know his father. Anne's relationship with her son's dad had ended badly over the pregnancy with Sam. She had lost touch with John, and she did not relish the thought of reconnecting. Others persuaded her this was something she needed to do for her son. So the search began, and it went very badly. Nothing but dead ends. To manage the pain of her failed relationship, Anne had assigned all the blame to John, and struggling with her own part in the thought of reconnecting did not feel like fun. Sam prayed nightly for his father. His desire to know John deepened. The search kept coming up empty. The waiting began to get the best of them. Finally, Anne learned that John's father, Sam's grandfather, was dying. She tried to find John there. No luck. Angry, Sam lashed out. If you had just been a better person, my father would never have left. We got more and more frustrated, Anne said, more and more stuck, less hopeful. And then I remembered. I heard Wendell Berry say once in a December afternoon in a coffee shop, it gets darker and darker, and then Jesus is born. Remembering that line, she said, I decided to practice radical hope. That means to me hope in the face of not having a clue. Within a week, John's father's obituary appeared in the local newspaper. That's the God's honest truth, Anne writes. Sam and John and Annie struggle and challenges remain. And yet God continues to birth a new thing. Someone dared to hope. To practice radical hope in the face of not having a clue, that's Advent thinking. For whatever faith is, whatever it means to yearn for and cling to a life with God, whatever it means to live into the promise of a new Eden, the vitality, resiliency, and strength of the perspective of faith roots itself in hope. In Advent, we hope that the one who comes will shine as light into darkness. We hope that in his coming, the crackling, snapping, quickening energies of new creation will indeed renew the face of the earth. We hope that in him, everything God is, everything God loves, everything God imagines will come to reside and reign and rule, so that as in heaven, so on earth. We hunger after this hope. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Waiting comes as one of life's more maddening and difficult challenges. We do not do it well. And yet, when waiting proves inevitable, it may also summon us to spiritual maturing. Advent taps into all our memories of waiting and invites us to gather them up and wed them to the stories of God. For waiting may be the most godlike experience we humans will ever know. For we bind ourselves to a God who waits. Waits to come down, waits to be born, waits to love us in purpose, in person, waits for the right moment, waits for act in life and communities and individuals and nations. God waits to scatter darkness, bestow joy, enliven hope. The readings that inaugurate Advent testify to the waiting of God. Ahaz exhausts God with rebelliousness, even as a coalition of armies threatens Judah. Isaiah promises God will come. Ahaz only need ask. Ahaz refuses. God waits. John's voice cries out in the wilderness, God is coming with dynamite and bulldozers to change the face of the earth. The changes will have cosmic consequences. The light that is God's final kingdom draws ever near. Repent, be washed, be ready. John's witness costs his life. God waits. Gabriel brings God's greetings to Mary. The greetings perplex her, and yet Mary's heart remains open. Her whole body welcomes God. There is no more poignant example of our waiting God in all of Scripture than the God who takes flesh in the body of a young woman and becomes subject to pregnancy. God waits. 9 months, God waits. To wait for this God, to wait on this God, to wait with this God draws all the waiting of all our days into the life-altering, hopeful, cosmic activity of the one who comes. Soon we will sing joy to the world, the Lord is come. Soon, not yet. Advent beckons us to pause, to still, to watch, to wait, to notice that God waits with us,
waits to be born as we think long thoughts and breathe the prayer of all who have and do and will wait. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Come, O wisdom from on high, enlighten our darkened minds with your marvelous light, that people and nations may learn your ways of justice and truth. Come and save us, O Lord of hosts.
Come, O Lord of hosts, and save us.
Come, O Lord of power and might, make all things new. Build up this earth that we have injured by our indulgent deeds. Restore our faded paradise and bring forth creation's second birth. Come and save us, O Lord of hosts.
Come, O Lord of hosts, and save us.
Come, O branch of Jesse's tree, be ever faithful to your promised presence in the lives, in our lives, that the people of the earth may rejoice in hope of the Savior's coming and look with longing to his return at the end of time. Come and save us, O Lord of hosts.
Come, O Lord of hosts, save us.
Come, O key of David, prepare our hearts for the power of your love. Remove the sadness that hinders us from embracing the joy and hope that Christ's presence will bestow. Come and save us, O Lord of hosts.
Come,
Lord of hosts, and save us.
Come, O dayspring from on high. Bring us new life that, restored by your power, we may serve your world with steadfast faith, joyful hope, and constant love. Come and save us, O Lord of hosts.
Come, Lord of hosts, save us.
Almighty God, give us grace to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Now, in the time of this mortal life in which your Son, Jesus Christ, came to visit us in great humility, that in the last day when he shall come again in his glorious majesty to judge both the living and the dead, we may rise to the life immortal, through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
As we join our prayers with those of the Church Universal, so we say each in our own language the prayer that Jesus Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you and scatter the darkness from before your path, and make you ready to meet him when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.